When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Welcome, second half of the show. Don't forget, tomorrow we're on the road, of course. And we will talk to Mike Griffith here in just a few minutes, live from Athens, the site of the big game in the SEC this week. Will is in Texas. Good afternoon, Will.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Look,
a question for you. Last year, I'm a University of Memphis fan, and last year when I think it was Houston and Cincinnati were leaving, you kind of downplayed like some of the teams that the American Athletic Conference added. I think like UTSA and North Texas and a couple other teams, and the people in Memphis that are diehard Memphis fans are kind of in an uproar because we cannot understand why Memphis can't get into a big conference. We feel like the SEC will be perfect. I don't think we would ever be able to compete with a Georgia or Alabama in football, but I think we could have a decent rivalry with Arkansas, Ole Miss, maybe Texas A&M. And I think in basketball, we could have a really good rivalry with Tennessee, Auburn, and especially Kentucky. Coach Norvell built the football program up. You know, it struggled for years. I forgot the coach before Norvell, but they built the program up.
Justin Fuente.
Yeah. So, I mean, we produced, you know, some decent wins, some decent bowl games, some really good, you know, NFL running backs. So the football program, it's not an elite program, but it's solid. And what, you know, what Coach Penny is doing in basketball, you know, he's getting some of the top recruits and he's building that program up. So the people in Memphis, we just kind of stand, why can't we get an invite to the Big 12, the SEC, or any of these big time programs? Because we feel like the fans feel like we should be in a bigger conference than the American Athletic Conference. And the other question I have for you is, what is your opinion on the football coach, Coach Silverfield? I think he's doing a decent job. They're 7-2 right now. The guy was calling about Missouri earlier, and we went toe-to-toe with Missouri. They're playing decent, but a lot of people feel like we need a bigger, big-time football coach as well.
You know, it's interesting, Will. I was in Memphis this spring speaking to a touchdown club there, and I got a pretty good view of what's been happening. And I think the coach was in trouble, but I give him a lot of credit for bringing this program back this year. I think this has been a really good year. I thought Memphis had a good chance to get in the Big 12 a couple of years ago, and they did not. As far as the SEC, I don't think there's any chance. There was once a chance many, many years ago. Memphis was under consideration, but the SEC now seems to be looking at primarily state universities. And look at what they've just got through bringing in Texas, Oklahoma. I think if the SEC were to expand, they would continue on that track. And as much as I care for that program, I grew up a fan, it's just not happening with the SEC. Thank you very, very much for the call. Sandra is in Austin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I don't have any requests for prognostication, gripes, or other ill words. I just wanted to say that you brought something up a little while ago with your caller that you remembered sneaking your transistor radio
right
in so you could listen into baseball games. Well, I lived in Atlanta when I was a kid, and I used to do kind of the same thing. I had this little rinky-dink plastic radio, and I'd turn the volume really, really low, and that was when Hank Aaron was playing and Joe Torre and all of that. So anyway, you just brought back a sweet memory, and I said, well, we share more than a birthday.
Yeah, you know, it's people. I think it's kind of a lost art listening to baseball on the radio. And
because you actually have to think.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, what it did, and it helped me later as a writer, that the great play-by-play broadcasters were not a bunch of screamers. I mean, they were wordsmiths. They described the scene.
Right.
They talked about, you know, which way the wind was blowing, the humidity. they gave you more. Television is different. You don't need to talk much on television. And quite frankly, most television broadcasters ought to shut up. The pictures describe everything. But radio is really different. And I don't listen to much radio anymore in terms of play-by-play because we're watching television.
Right. Well, anyway, thank you for bringing that up.
But yeah, but I think in terms of great play-by-play, I think baseball might be the richest sport in terms of description because there is time. Football, you have a lot of activity, and then you're setting up the next play. Basketball is impossible. Hockey, boxing is probably one of the best sports as well. Because there's so many things that are happening, the great announcers all started in baseball.
Yeah. Well, it was just a sweet connection in my memory. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, Sandra, I'm really glad that somebody out there can relate to my youth like you did, because most people have come along long past that. Thank you very, very much. Really great to hear from you. Howard is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Howard.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
I was just a first time caller here, and I was just calling to bring something that the Georgia fans might not want to hear. And I've always looked at the strength of schedule, especially for this year. The first four games, I would say, was scrimmage. I think the quarterback didn't get a scratch on him until Auburn. So I wouldn't even rank him top four.
So let me make sure I understand you. What are you saying here?
They're undefeated, and I know that's something that is difficult. But this season, I just look at their strength of schedule. I think they're like 65th strength of schedule.
Right.
I'd be hollering champion 2023 before the season started, too. I had a strength of schedule like that.
Yeah, but that schedule, for all the attacks that were received, has gotten a lot meatier here in these last couple of weeks, and it will go up dramatically after last week, this week, next week, and then the Alabama game. So, I mean, I'm no longer really a critic of Georgia's schedule, because Georgia really didn't have anything to do with it. It was not their decision to wipe out the game, but I mean, number 12, number 9, and number 13, and number 7 or 8 on the championship game is a pretty strong finish. Kentucky doesn't hurt them as much as we thought. Kentucky's now ranked, and that's how you determine the strength of schedule. Thank you very, very much for the call. Let's check in next with Jacoby in Kentucky. Hello, Jacoby.
Hello, Paul. I just wanted to ask you what you thought Kentucky's chances were this weekend playing Alabama, especially if they can get the running game going with Ray Davis. And if not, if you don't think so, just what it would take for them to pull out a big victory.
Well, I think they need to have a similar type game than they had against Florida about a month ago. And the real question is, can anyone run on Alabama? If anyone can, Kentucky can. I think it's a good matchup for Kentucky. It's just a matter of, you know, what they can mix up. But I think Kentucky can make it close. I don't think they can win, but I do think Kentucky has the ability to keep. And what you want to do is, you know, what are you going to get from Alabama? Are you going to get the same Alabama? What you also have to do is you need to score quickly. It's not just a trend line. Alabama in the second half is unstoppable. Is unscorable from a defensive standpoint. I mean, their numbers against Tennessee, Ole Miss, Texas A&M and LSU are just incredible. I don't remember an Alabama team doing what they in the last couple of years being this effective at the end of the game. We'll take a short break. We will come back and talk to Griff.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, it is that time of the week when we get the camera and focus in on Athens, Georgia, where our man Griff is waiting. Griff, what's going on?
Getting ready for a big game, night game at Sanford Stadium. Georgia tries to extend the home win streak against a top 10 Ole Miss team. Georgia probably without their middle linebacker, Jamon Dumas Johnson, suffered a broken forearm. Brock Bowers, probably more likely than not likely to play. So a lift for the Dogs there. But big picture, Paul, I got to thinking about what this game really means. And yes, on the one hand, people that are watching it are seeing history. It's going to be a long time before somebody wins 26 in a row or 27 in a row when you start talking about a 12-team playoff and transfers and NILs and portal. You know, but for one more night, you're going to get to see a traditional program in Georgia that has only 3 transfers on their whole roster against an Ole Miss team that has 31 and 28 in the 2 deep. And what are you pulling for? Are you pulling for the old model where a guy like Carson Beck stays in the program for a few years, waits his turn, finally gets his opportunity? Or do you go for what Lane has done, what he has to do at a program like Ole Miss, and go out and sign all these free agents? And like I said, 28 transfers in the 2 deep, quarterbacks coming in from all the different schools every year auditioning for the job at Ole Miss. Do you go for the old school Bulldogs and the way Kirby's done it the old fashioned way? Or do you like the shortcuts that you see now with the transfer portal? And that's what fans are going to have to weigh Saturday night when they're watching Georgia against this red-hot Ole Miss team.
Interesting. As we talk to Griff live from Athens. Griff, let me bounce around the SEC a little bit because there are certainly some other stories and other things people are watching. Alabama fans this week feel disrespected. They feel like their ranking is too low. What do you think?
I think you should have beaten Texas on September 9th in Tuscaloosa. I was there. And listen, I'm right there among a lot of people that believe Nick Saban is the greatest coach of this generation with his 6. I guess Kirby won 4 of those national titles with him and has 2. But right now you've got to give it to Saban for what he's done over time. But, Paul, you can't escape it. They lost at home to Texas and at home in Tuscaloosa, and they're going to be pinned behind a 1-loss Texas team. I talked to Boo Corrigan about it on the call. I said, these transitive properties, how long do they last? And he basically said, look, that's an important game. And the replacement quarterback for Quinn Ewers at Texas, he's playing really well. How do you not keep Texas above Alabama if they both have one loss, all things being equal, and Texas beat Bama head-to-head. Now, the only way this becomes relevant is if Bama runs the table and beats Georgia. I suppose Tennessee is still mathematically in the hunt in the East. If Bama runs the table and wins the SEC, could they be left out with one loss? And the answer is yes, because if Washington stays undefeated and there's an undefeated Big Ten champion and there's an undefeated Florida State and it boils down to a one-loss Texas and a one-loss Bama, what do you do? Well, you can make the argument that Bama just knocked off Georgia. But to me, that head-to-head matchup, Nick Saban did not have his team ready. The offensive coordinator did not have Jalen Milroe playing well yet. They had a fantastic home crowd. They didn't take advantage. They wet the bed at home, and they got to pay the price. They got to hold their breath and hope that somebody beats Texas. Kansas State was very close but couldn't finish last week.
Talking to Griff. Griff, I want to get to another story that took a wicked turn Saturday at home, and you know where I'm going here. That's the situation with your guy. You like him a lot. He's a good guy. He works hard, getting more sleep now. We're speaking of Billy Napier heading down to the Bayou this weekend.
Well, it's a big game for Florida. Obviously, they're a double-digit underdog, and I guess we'll see Chris Doering dressed like a turkey or something if he loses the bet. I don't know. You know, him and Peter Burns have that LSU-Florida bet going, but bigger matters, big issues for Florida, because here's the thing. The Florida administration is dug in, and if there's enough boosters with enough money, they can undig those administrators and get new ones if they want a new head coach and the administration doesn't go along with it. Paul, I think it's too early still. I think you got to give Billy Napier time. This is a big game. Let's see what he does. This is a banged-up LSU team. They got beat up. I mean, the Tide took them to the shed and physically dominated, knocked the quarterback out. Alabama showed you why they're superior. For all the bells and whistles and points that LSU scored, Alabama is the toughest, most physical team in the league, and they took it out on the Tigers. So let's see what the Tigers have left, and let's see how the Gators fight for their coach. I want to see how they respond, Paul. And listen, I'm not on some death watch for Billy Napier's job. I think it's premature. I'd rather talk about guys that are getting it done and that have impressed me. I'd rather talk about Eli Drinkowitz. I'd rather talk about Josh
Heupel.
You
did that last week, and 2 weeks ago you insulted Eli Drinkowitz.
It was warranted. Now, he's not going to be the SEC Coach of the Year like a lot of people wanted, and he did apologize to the referees for some language apparently that was caught on TV. But listen, he's got a doggone good football team. Now, if they can keep Tennessee from scoring 60 points, they got a chance. And a lot of people might chuckle, but the Vols have put up 128 points on Missouri. Josh Heupel is very underrated. I'm really surprised we don't hear any talk about him possibly being Coach of the Year. I mean, if they run the table and Georgia stumbles against Ole Miss, Tennessee would go to the SEC Championship. There's a scenario if Tennessee beats Missouri and Georgia loses to Ole Miss, Georgia's got to go to Tennessee with the East on the line. Listen, Josh Heupel has done an unbelievable job. He lost his quarterback and Hendon Hooker and had to replace him, and they lost their best receiver. And here's Tennessee leading the SEC in rushing defense.
Griff, that sounds great. Why don't we wait till next week before we have this conversation?
Because the Missouri game is very important.
Which won't be easy.
Well, it won't be easy, and it's a big game for Drink. I mean, listen, I was so impressed, Paul. When you were watching that game, if they didn't have the uniforms on, you couldn't tell who the defending national champion was and who the team was, from the Show-Me State. Missouri played them toe-to-toe, and then their quarterback made a fatal mistake, and Georgia's culture and coaching won out. Georgia's coaching won that game, okay? I know they're a talented program, but
I'm done with that game. Is there any other coach you want to praise here while we have a few extra minutes? I don't want to step on your script.
Well, there's no script. I just feel like this SEC conference is fantastic, and teams have been getting better and better and better. And I look at Missouri and Tennessee and these coaches, to me, two of the finest coaches in the country right now. That's a really big game in Columbia. And then here Saturday night, Lane Kiffin and what he's done. I mean, this is back-to-back years. They've been 8-1. I think three straight years they've been in the top 10. That's not supposed to happen in Oxford, Mississippi. They don't really have the budget for that. But Lane has gotten it done, and you have to give him a lot of credit. And it's just going to be an unbelievable atmosphere in Athens Saturday night. And it's kind of a – for us in the media, I'll do a little sidebar here. The press box behind me, Paul, and I know a lot of people don't care, but I got to tell you, this has been the best press box in the country for years and years and years. It's the last game for the media to see at midfield in an open air. It's going to be special for a lot of media guys like me here at Sanford Stadium.
It's going to be disappointing. It's a great press conference. What's happening to that press conference?
Well, they're moving the press box. This is going to be it. They're closing it down, and if you donate a lot of money, you get those seats, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. So this is for the media guys, a shout out to Claude Felton and Georgia for giving us the best press box in the country.
Where will you be sitting next year?
We will have the view from the corner of the end zone, which affords some strategic sight lines. You know, Josh Brooks has promised us that it's going to be one of the best press boxes in the nation still.
Is that
Alabama?
It's been a while since I hung around press boxes, but is that where most of the press boxes have gone?
It is. And listen, nobody roots for the media. I get that. Everybody's like, who cares?
Why should they?
Because, well, they should.
I'm being very honest. As somebody who did what you did, what you're doing for many, many years and respect it, but why should anybody care where the media sits when they're getting a free ticket into the game, free parking pass, all the free hot dogs they can gobble down, all the peanuts, all the free Cokes? I mean, why should we feel sorry for you?
Nobody said anything about feeling sorry.
You're acting like the world has come to an end because they're going to make you sit in the end zone with average people.
I'm trying to talk about good, warm news here, Paul. I mean, you want to bury Billy Napier before he even gets to LSU.
I have never said a disparaging thing.
You're the one who was
shoveling the dirt a couple weeks ago about the biorhythms of his nocturnal behavior.
And I kind of told you this was going to happen. Now, you sat down with Scott Strickland and Destin, and you talked to him about this. And Scott told you back in Destin when you sat down with him that he would be fine, and that's going to get put to the test. But I want to see how the Gators respond in Baton Rouge. I want to see if LSU can come off the mat. This is a three-loss team, and I championed Brian Kelly quite a bit, but this is a three-loss team, and that's disappointing to me, right? So I want to see how LSU comes off the mat.
But LSU has show me somebody that has better losses than LSU. I mean, they play a very brutal schedule.
While Georgia
was playing Ball State, they were playing Florida State.
Yeah. Well, good for them. They scheduled it. Georgia scheduled Oklahoma, and unfortunately, Oklahoma and Georgia decided not to play that game. But now Georgia's got to prove it, Paul. You got to admit, the Dogs have got to stretch. They're playing a Missouri team in the top 15. They got an Ole Miss team at number 9. They got a Tennessee team. Nobody can complain about Georgia's remaining schedule. They got to run a gauntlet there with those three programs in the top 15, and it's going to be tough. And we're burying the lead here, though. If Brock Bowers comes back, it's going to be a lift, right? But you look at down the stretch, nobody thought Missouri was going to be a great game when we first saw the schedule.
Let's quit burying the lead. Tell us more about Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers has been practicing, and he's been running straight line speeds of 19 to 20 miles an hour, according to a teammate. You know, there's been plenty of information coming out that this is a kid that wants to try to play. And they talk about Tua playing after 27 days of tightrope surgery. This would be 26 for Brock Bowers. I think this would cement his status as a future statue here. If he's able to come back and play what will probably be his final home game at Sanford Stadium, the Georgia Dogs still streaking 26 in a row. That ties 15 and 16 Alabama, two behind the all-time SEC mark set by Paul Bear Bryant and Gene Stallings. 21 straight weeks now at number one. That ties 0-1-0-2 Miami. I don't know that they'll catch USC at 32 or 33 or whatever ungodly number Pete Carroll put up, but you're seeing a historic run here. And if Brock Bowers comes back, to me, that's what puts Georgia over the top, because this is a dangerous Ole Miss team. And, Paul, you're going to know in the first quarter, because Ole Miss is destroying people in the first quarter of games. In fact, I think they have the highest point differential in the first quarter in the league. They're also the most explosive team in the SEC. So we're going to see if Georgia can slow down Ole Miss. Georgia, the last three games, has given up opening drive touchdowns. If Georgia holds Ole Miss out of the end zone on the opening possession, I think it's a Georgia win. If Ole Miss doesn't get the jump on the Georgia Bulldogs, it's going to be a Georgia Bulldogs Saturday night. So keep the first quarter at 7 p.m. kickoff going to be very important. Georgia trying to get it done. If Brock Bowers is back, I think that's what puts him over the top spiritually and schematically.
Tell us the conversation that's going on behind the scenes about his health, whether he should come back, when he should come back. What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's first of all, he's got a clear protocol, right? I mean, Kirby's talked about the different landmarks that he has to hit. It's not just straight line speed. He's got to be able to decelerate. He's got to be able to cut. Obviously, he's got to protect himself on the field. Tight end is a very physical position. It requires a lot of different skill sets. Ron Corson is probably the best athletic trainer in the country. He worked with the SEC committee a few years ago when they were dealing with their COVID protocol. This is one of the most celebrated trainers ever. They got him from Alabama, actually, back in the Ray Golf era, and he's been here ever since. So they've got this legendary trainer that's going to keep a close eye on him. And if Brock plays, it's a game changer, because this would be the first time that Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey are both 100%. This would be the most potent offense ever. But here's the thing. Pete Golding is going to throw the kitchen sink at these guys. They gamble, they risk, they do all these fronts and blitzes. Now, Carson Beck claims that he can solve Rubik's Cube in 1 minute, and that's great. But can he solve the Ole Miss blitz package and call the right protections? Because when Missouri was hitting him last week, Carson got a little shook up, and he was a little slow in the first half. Second half adjustments, 11-14. But this is not an Ole Miss team you want to get behind, not with this Jackson Dart character. This guy can run. He'll put the shoulder down. And they've got probably the best running back in the league in Quinshon Judkins. This guy drives a Mercedes. I think I read in AL.com he bought a Mercedes for one of Nick Saban's dealerships. How about that? So you got a Rolls-Royce running back driving a Mercedes for Ole Miss against the Georgia defensive front that isn't as celebrated as the past and might be missing their middle linebacker, probably will be missing their All-American middle linebacker.
Okay, Griff, before you go, I know your fans are going to come after me because I dared to ask you a few questions, but is there anything else? I don't want the Griff Navy to go hungry here on this Thursday afternoon.
No, I just think it's complete. You know, I just think, you know, right now I'm enjoying every week down the stretch of the SEC. You know, this was an unpredictable script that's playing out. I know that Georgia was the heavy favorite, but now the committee says they're number two. They're missing key players. Like I said, only three transfer portal guys. Ole Miss has 28 in the two deep. I mean, it's old school football against the replacements. And I know a lot of people like that. A lot of people like free agency. But there's a lot of college football traditionalists that I think will be rooting for Georgia to win this game. And it would also keep the picture clean. I mean, if Georgia runs the table and they're undefeated, you know you got an SEC team in there. You can't count on Alabama.
Griff, I want to be a reporter for a second because, you know, back in the day, I'd get a story, I'd call the person, go over the main salient facts. The one salient fact that I took away here and I think is going to come back and be regurgitated, and please confirm whether I heard you correctly. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're talking about Alabama, and you said Alabama wet the bed against Texas. Did I get that correctly?
Yeah, I was there. I saw it with my own two eyes. Absolutely. They were at home, and they lost to Texas.
AL.com headline, Griff says Alabama wet the bed. We are going to see you next week. Thanks so much, Griff. Back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Big day on Saturday, live in Lexington. SEC Nation gets you ready for all the games. 9 a.m. Marty and McGee, 10 a.m. Nation. Don is up next in Illinois. Hello, Don.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, the conversation a while ago you had with the lady from Texas, I believe, about listening to the radio. Well,
yes.
I'm coming from a coming from a perspective, I'm a blind guy. So I've grown up having to listen to baseball, the Cardinals, Jack Buck, Mike Shannon, back in the day like you did. And also, you know, I live on it during when I go to the Tigers games in Columbia.
Sure.
And also when I go on the road. It's amazing how well the radio announcers describe the game. It's a better, more enjoyable experience than any TV announcer can provide. I know the visual parts are awesome, and I'd love to see them, but
have you always been like this, or is this something that happened as you grew up?
I started when I was about 10 years old. I'm 56 now, so I'm not completely blind, okay. But I've been legally blind since I was 10, and it's getting worse every year.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm interested in what you're saying because radio was really how I got into the broadcasting business, and I learned from older gentlemen at the time, and they always talked about reading and acquiring a vocabulary to be a good broadcaster, and I think that is clearly deficient with a number of television broadcasters today. And now, but as you know, the difference on television is there's very little you do have to say, and I think there's a fine line between I think with some of the greatest finishes of all time, I remember interviewing Vern Lundquist a couple of years ago. He talked about the end of the Alabama-Auburn game. Remember the 109-yard Chris Davis return to the kick six game? He said that literally I don't think anyone spoke for a minute and a half because the pictures were so amazing that there was nothing you could add to it.
I agree with that, but those are exceptions. And
yeah, no, they're very rare.
The average game, though, there's sometimes you won't hear the TV announcers give you the score for a whole quarter. They won't announce it out loud because they just assume people are watching the screen. It's difficult. But
no,
that's
I
why
agree.
I listen to them. I mean, the TV, I'll say the radio guys that were across the SEC, because I've been to almost every stadium's games, and I bring my radio in to listen while the game's going on. Those guys are great. So it's I hope that they continue to hire
I don't
guys.
Know if you, I don't know
years.
If you were around about a year and a half ago. Maybe it was last fall, not this fall. We interviewed Kenny Chesney, who was the producer of this SEC documentary about the voices of the SEC, the old voices. It was fantastic talking to him about that. And I agree. I mean, those are such a big part of everyone's past. And you know, when you grow up and you listen. Who's been some of your favorite broadcasters as you've listened around the league?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike Kelly at Mizzou is one of the best.
He described the game
extremely detailed. I was just down in Kentucky. I don't know all the names, but the guys in Kentucky are good.
Yeah. Is it Dan Kelly who used to do the St. Louis Blues?
It's Dan Kelly. And okay. I don't know if they're related, but
I remember his voice very well from my earlier days.
Yeah, it's great. So, well, hey, just a quick comment, too. I listen to your show a lot, and I'm really waiting for the day when Mizzou finally gets on a roll for a few years with Coach Drink, and we can do a little bit more airtime with you, because I think there's some good stuff happening up there in both basketball and football. And I think there's some Mizzou folks that really like to talk and get some airtime with you.
Don, I look forward to that. Thanks so much for sharing your story. Be well.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Augie is up next.
Paul, I'm walking around Sam's Club, a.k.a. the Freak Show. Have you ever been in Sam's?
I used to have a membership card.
You go there anymore?
No.
Yesterday you were talking about the dollar store, and you said there was a high-end dollar store, not the one in the mall. Can you elaborate on that?
No, I can't. That was a little bit of a fantasy.
Okay, so there is no
high-end
dollar
store. There are better dollar stores than other. And I know people are saying, my wife happens to be a big fan of the dollar store, so I've spent a lot of time walking aimlessly around dollar stores.
Well, they're generally not that big, so you must, like, make big circles and loops.
Well, there's just, but I'm like going, how much more time can we spend in this dollar store?
And, Paul, does Georgia not have the best of everything? Now they've got the best trainer that ever existed.
Yeah.
I mean, when Griff goes somewhere, he really drinks the Kool-Aid, doesn't he?
One day, if I really get mad at Griff, I'm going to replay some of the the video, some of the tape from about 7 years ago when he was urging the Tennessee athletic director to give Butch Jones a contract extension.
Hey, one thing you got to say about Griff, he is a loyal Sicario. When you hire him, he goes all out for you. But I don't think there's any doubt that Georgia's going to beat Ole Miss. Do you, Paul? I mean, Ole Miss has no defense. And the only reason Ole Miss beat A&M, I watched the game this weekend, past weekend, is because of Max Johnson. Max Johnson gave him the game.
Yeah, he did.
And if Max Johnson's going to quarterback, there's no way that – I mean there's no way Georgia is going to be able to Ole Miss is going to be able to stop Georgia's offense.
Augie, I've been looking for an edge in that game all week. I finally found the X factor. You know what it is?
The Ole Miss defense, or the Ole Miss defense.
Well,
I
that's
think,
part of
X
it,
factor.
But the secondary reason is the press box's final game.
I don't know anything about that, but I got a feeling, Paul, we're going to blow one of these next two SEC games.
Yeah, I tend
it's
to.
It's either going to be Florida or A&M. And I'm telling you now, when they do, it's going to be all you're going to hear is BK, BK, BK. And you need to tape it like you did the baseball rant.
I think I know Griff wanted to put a couple of Heupel Coach of the Year, Drink Coach of the Year. BK is my Coach of the Year.
Well, I think he's going to blow one of these next
two not.
Games.
No, you have, you have to. You see, you're an LSU fan.
I
Augie,
am,
trust
which
me.
Means I'm waiting for the. All right, Paul.
Augie, I remember you in baseball season. You wanted to fire the coach. You won the national championship. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and Todd is up next. Good afternoon, Todd.
Good evening, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I had a few things I wanted to ask you about, but I did want to say something. Augie, get on down there and get you some mops to where you can be that good janitor you are at the lawyer's firm up there. You act like little Lloyd Fauntleroy every time you call in. But anyway, Paul, when is strength of schedule going to matter?
Well, it should be a factor, and I think it's a more important factor at the very end than it is right now, because you're still dealing with an incomplete body of work.
Well, I remember about 4 years ago they talked about this strength of schedule was going to matter. Well, if strength schedule matters, you know, we played Texas, we didn't drop them. Yeah, they did beat us, but Paul, can they suit up Saturday and beat us?
No.
Can Texas play us again?
No, Texas would not beat Alabama if they played Saturday.
That's what I'm saying. All right. And all them bedwetters over in Georgia and Mike Griffin running his mouth, and everybody loves to say Alabama ain't getting in. One thing about it, Georgia, all of y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of bedwetters. And I want to say this. I've heard them Georgia fans call in trying to get the coaches from Georgia Tech, get them hired somewhere else. Because Georgia Tech is fixing to start whooping Georgia's ass like they used to do it. Thank you, Paul, for taking my call. Have a great day, brother.
Thank you very, very much. Trey is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, two things today. Real quick on Brock Bowers, Paul. You know, Brock is such a great player that even if he doesn't catch a pass and they put him out there as a decoy, Ole Miss still has to change their whole different scheme. That's how much this kid can affect a football game. So he don't even have to catch a pass at her. If he's on the field, it's going to be problems for Ole Miss. But, Paul, I want to talk to you about sign stealing real quick as a coach. You know, Paul, sign stealing goes on at every level of sports, including youth sports. But, Paul, and I don't think some callers understand how hard it is to steal a sign. They just think because there's a sign over there, you can figure out what's going on. But, Paul, teams have what they call an indicator sign, and I don't know if you know what that is or not, and I'll use an example. If the sideline's holding up a picture of you, Lane Kiffin, and a corn dog, none of that matters until another sign comes up. It could be Bear Bryant, and then every sign after Bear Bryant's the one that matters. The one in front of those does not matter. Same in baseball. You see them rubbing their hands and putting their hands in their pocket and rubbing their chest and touching their nose. Well, that inning, the indicator sign could be, when I touch my nose, that's when you pay attention. All that other stuff is irrelevant until a coach puts up the indicator sign. And teams usually change that throughout the course of the game or any game. So for them to be – and I don't know the depth that they stole them, but, you know, Paul, if you can figure out a team's indicator sign and figure out which play they are calling, you have been to more than one game. And that is so in-depth and so hard to do, to steal a team's indicator sign. And I just don't think people understand how hard it is to steal people's signs. And so I just wanted to bring that up, because if you can't figure out a team's indicator sign, then it doesn't matter what kind of film, what you see on the sideline or anything. But I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday, Paul. Thank you.
Trey, thank you very much. We head to the break. It's been a busy show, but we have plenty of time for the callers in the final hour on Thursday. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.